Irreverent. Entertaining. Cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
Max and friends. He says what he wants. Ain't holding nothing back. Got the recipe for life. And he's inspiring. He's not scared of any topic. From sextile to gossip.
Everybody, you are on the air with Max and Friends, and you've got Greg and Tamara Montana here with you tonight. And we just want to give a shout out to Max because he had a birthday just this week. So we want to say happy birthday to you, Max, and thank you so much for having us fill in because we have got some juicy topics to discuss with all of Max and Friends. Actually, Greg and I are getting ready to do a relationship retreat this week in Palm Springs. So we've had some pretty amazing, intense experiences emotionally just between the two of us. And we experience this when we're about ready to work with a lot of couples so that there's actually not something that we can't relate with. So as Greg and I have been navigating through difficult waters of emotions that aren't really pleasant, we really look for that place inside of us that is yearning and longing to experience the kind of love that we all yearn for. And whatever comes out in our behavior, one of the things that we notice is that it's either an expression of love or it's a call for love. And that's what, Greg, would you say that's what we've been experiencing lately, just preparing?
It's, you know, every relationship, no matter what happens in that relationship, is grounded in love. And no matter how good your relationship is, they're going to be tough times. They're going to be hard times. And one of the things Tamara and I have learned is that when you're going through a tough time, that's when you prove the relationship. Not when it's glowing. You know, we have this weird concept that the relationship's just going to glow and flow throughout the whole time that you're together. And that's just not realistic. So we want to share with you some of the things that we've learned, because the funny thing is we work with couples all the time. And when you work with couples, your own stuff comes up a lot. Mm-hmm. One of the first things that Tamara and I notice is that you start the first year or so, and you're kind of working through your partner with the things that have to do with your partner, and then for almost the next few years, you're dealing with childhood stuff that comes up that your partner triggers, and it's all just healing. Think of it like peeling an onion and peeling away the black layers that are underneath. When you're not in a relationship, you really aren't really working on those things as much as when you're in a committed relationship. That's when evolution happens.
Mm-hmm.
So one of the things that we've used as a tool is to write it down. You know, when two people are having an argument and they're locked up, their energy is locked, they're facing each other and they're intensely staring at each other and they're trying to be loving, but, you know, it's a struggle. The best thing to do is to take out a piece of paper, and there's three things that you can draw down. And I mean draw. Don't write. Don't write words. You want to draw things.
Draw a picture.
Pictures. Start with a picture of what the relationship looks like in its ideal state. This would be something where what you guys do is you say, we have a committed relationship and I see us being together. You could draw two people in a heart, or you could draw two people sitting in a boat, or two people on a field that are playing in the same direction. But you start that picture with a vision of how the relationship would be ideally perfect. And what do you think, Tamara? What works for you in this respect?
Right. So we start out with what we're committed to. So when you do draw yourselves inside of that heart or inside of the boat or inside of the house, you start out with what you're committed to experiencing with your partner. And then one of the most beautiful things that you can do right after that is draw a picture of what you're experiencing right now. So like, for example, Greg and I, when we drew ourselves inside of that heart, that's what we're committed to, is the day we got married, the day we made our commitment, the day we gave our vows, was that extension and expression of love. However, in this moment, what I'm experiencing, that when I share something, I don't feel heard or I don't feel received. And so I draw that out in a way that I'm drawing an arrow, and then instead of it being received by Greg, I draw like a block or a wall or a hand that goes up that doesn't, I didn't feel like what I was saying was mattering to Greg.
Right. After you draw the first picture, which is the vision of how the relationship can work perfectly, you draw the second picture, which is, okay, what's actually happening right now? But you got to paint that first picture of this is what the relationship looks like ideally. Because that sets a foundation with your partner of what you're committed to and what can become of the relationship. So once you've got that first picture down, now it's like you can breathe a deep breath. And you say, this is what we're headed to. This is what we're committed to. And make it a picture so that it's visceral. And then you can start talking about the second picture. Oh, you know, we're breaking down. You draw two people that are sort of clashing or something like that. And in that second picture, you're going to draw the friction or the problem. But draw it. Again, don't use words. And then hand the piece of paper to your partner and say, now you draw it. And let them express what that picture looks like to them in some kind of, diagram. And it doesn't matter if you say, well, I'm not an artist, I can't do it. It doesn't matter as long as they're recognizable stick figures, you know. And you can practice. I don't have great, artistic...
Well, and the one thing that we noticed that helps with this is because emotions can be going very high. And it's when you're doing a standoff with each other, it just feels painful. It's just hurtful. So one of the things that a piece of paper and a pen does, it is allows you to join with your partner and look at the paper and let the pen do the work. So you both of you are looking at the issue instead of each other, because many times, as we've all experienced, is a lot of blame that can come out when you're trying to be heard or when you're trying to express a painful issue, and it can get locked up.
Right, and so constantly referring back to that. Back to that first picture, because I'm committed to having us have such a beautiful relationship and because I want us to be able to get along in any situation, because I'm committed to you for life, and you've got to say that. And if you're not saying that, then don't expect that you're going to get very far with your partner. You cannot have a very long relationship if you're not committed for life. It's going to come up sooner or later. The deep stuff that comes up is going to end up, you'll hit walls, and people aren't going to get anywhere. So that's when relationships come apart. So you got to be honest with yourself about how I'm in this relationship for the long haul. If you're not in this relationship for the long haul, and both of you agree on that, then there's no reason to solve problems, because those problems are just going to be the source of breaking up. So I've committed to Tamara. We have committed to each other. This is for life. And so now anything that comes up is in that safe container. So you want to constantly refer back to that. Because we're going to be together our whole lives, there's no reason to fight. Because we're going to be together our whole lives, I need to know what you're saying to me that is, or what I'm doing that's so aggravating, because if I don't find out, then this is going to continue. We're either going to be in pain for a year, or we're going to be in pain for 10 years. Let's do this now.
Right. And if anybody's got any questions, if something's coming up for you that you'd like to add, please call in to 323-203-0815. Okay, so Greg just slammed the door shut. And we are back. So, thank you.
So, now that we've got a little more quiet, thank you for your patience.
One of the things that came up, because Greg and I love to study A Course in Miracles, and it was very interesting to hear this guy talk about how in relationships, there was a guy that was really driving him crazy at work, just driving him absolutely insane. And he'd been practicing this forgiveness thing, but it wasn't working for him. He just thought he forgave the guy, and then the only thing he had to do was look at him cross-eyed, lift his eyebrow, give him a sneer in his eyes, and talk down to him in front of a client or from a coworker. So this guy was very committed to forgiveness. So one of the things he did was went into a meditation and really asked inside, went into a very deep inquiry and said, show yourself to me. Child of God, you know, we're all children of God, right? We're all, you know, beautiful rays of light from the divine. And if that is true, if what we are is pure light underneath it all, show yourself to me, is what he said. And what was so extraordinary for him is that he literally saw a mask fall off of his coworker in his meditation. And he started laughing because he thought, oh my gosh, it's like he was looking at an actor playing a part in a play. And there was a recognition that he had with this guy, with his light underneath, that somehow they made an agreement before they came here on planet Earth that this would be the part they would play. And he just started laughing and felt so much freedom and so much release that he could see past the mask, the jeers, the looks, the stares, the sarcasm or the putting down. And he thought, boy, I wonder if this is going to stick, or I wonder if this is really going to last when I go back to work, this feeling that he had. And that very same week, he was giving a presentation, and his coworker was there, and he was presenting before his clients. And his coworker corrected him in front of everyone, as he normally would, and gave a little smirk or a look or a jeer with his eye like that. And he was so pleasantly surprised to find that he was not taken out. He was not bothered by his coworker. In fact, so much so that he went up to him and genuinely thanked him for correcting him, because he was actually going to make his presentation even better because of his coworker's input.
And one of the things that works so well in situations like that, he said that he had been meditating and praying and really asking for, you know, some divine assistance here. And what came to him was that we are not the roles that we play, the characters that we play. We're divine children. We are these incredible souls and, you know, children of God, if you will. And we are playing a part temporarily. But we are not that character that we play. Just like an actor stars in a movie, and the actor is not the star in the movie. The actor is the actor playing that role. So that's really the essence of what he was trying to convey. Is he saw this person not as the actor that they were, but as the role that they were playing. And that's what was so incredibly inspiring and uplifting for him, that he could actually see two people in this one person that was playing this role. So if you can do that, just right now, just bring to mind somebody that you feel real anxiety toward or animosity toward or whatever, and someone that you struggle with. And then just bring to mind, okay, this is a person that you have been in relationship with during good times, and then you started seeing faults, and then things happened, and something went sour, because you're in some kind of relationship with them, whether, you know, they're a friend that something went bad, or a lover. And then try to imagine them being that good person that you saw them being. And then imagine the character that they're playing, and overdo it. You know, it's one of Batman's villains. This guy basically said he looked like a demented elf. Like a demented elf. Well, that was just a facade on top of this role that he was very, very committed to experiencing this man as, a divine child. So if you do that, if you just take a look at, okay, what if this person has a mask in front of this very beautiful person that you've seen them be in the past? And what they're doing is just showing you that character. They're just playing that role. And he said it was almost like a weight was lifted off his shoulders. Because one of the things Tamara and I have worked a lot with couples with is forgiveness. Forgiveness isn't letting somebody off the hook for something they did wrong. People are being people all over the planet. People do all kinds of things. They do beautiful things. They do stupid things. People are just people. And if you recognize that when you're frustrated with somebody, imagine that there's a person that you're really angry at, and there's 50 other people around that are just looking at him, and they don't even notice what he did, and they don't know that he's a bad person. So everything that you're upset with them about is a projection. It's coming from thoughts you're thinking that you're projecting onto them. Because no matter who you know that you hate, someone loves them. Someone likes them, even if it's another villain that resonates with them. And so somebody's projecting beautiful things onto them. So anytime that we have unforgiveness or a grievance, it's because we're projecting onto that person what our thoughts are. Now, what true forgiveness is to reel in those projections. And the beauty of this is, if you projected them on in the first place, then you have the power to reel them back in and to remove those projections. And you have all the power to do that. You're not at their mercy because they're a jerk today, but they, you know, you're praying that they'll be better tomorrow. You can actually reel in those projections and take responsibility for them and say, well, if I projected this onto that person, then I'm going to take it back in and I'm going to drop it. I'm going to throw it away. They're my projections. I own them. They don't own them. And that's what true forgiveness is. Not to let somebody off the hook for something bad they did, because that's like, that's just some self-righteous benevolent attempt at pardoning someone like you're a king, that someone's sins are being released. Instead, you want to just pull it back in and release it completely.
Well, and one of the things that this guy was sharing with us too is that the look on his coworker's face when he was just so pleased that he could contribute something that was going to help this guy with his presentation, it meant everything to him. And the things that really bothered both of them prior seemed to just fall away. And it really brings us back to, in being in relationships, who's the most important person that we're always dealing with, whether it's forgiveness. Is it self-forgiveness? Is it self-love? Because one of the things we've known and we've heard the coined phrase is you can't love someone until you love yourself completely. And so how do we do that? How do we honor ourselves, our wishes, our desires, our expressions? How do we honor those in a way that everyone else benefits from that? And one of the things that Greg and I start to notice, and even the Course in Miracles talks about too, is notice how you're landing with other people when you're speaking. So that when you're speaking, is it from a space of an expression and an extension of love, or is it trying to get love?
Yeah, and Tim and I have also experienced that a lot of times what we're trying to do is get love. And yet the way in relationships that we found really heals is when we focus more on being able to receive the love that our partner is trying to give to us anyway. Because we're always trying to love each other. We're always trying to be better at loving. That's why you have a fight. Something happens where you approach your partner and you're trying to work through something that may be difficult or some subconscious stuff's coming out, or you're trying to see that the relationship's more loving. And for some reason, it's going south. And the harder you try sometimes, the worse it gets. But if instead of trying to fix, you know, we're so addicted in this society into like learning a new skill because we went to school. But so much of life really working out, and you learn this when you go to a lot of funerals. You know, when people are on their deathbed and they find out, you know what, you've only got so long to live, they don't want to go out and learn something new. What they want to do is appreciate what's already there. They want to spend time with the people they love, with the people that love them. And they want to just be in quality time with them. Well, if you treat your relationship the same way, so I want to be better at receiving the love my husband gives me. And I know Tamara has some great examples of this where she talks about, you know, someone says, you know, you never hold my hand when we're walking. And so, you know, a day later, they're walking along and he grabs her hand and she just gets frustrated because, you know, well, you're just doing that because I asked for it yesterday. Well, yeah, that's how relationships work. And if someone's trying to give you love in a better way, receive the little bit that they give you. we're so harsh. It's like, it's got to be perfect or I'm not going to let them off the hook. Give them benefit of the doubt. It's like a child that learns to walk. Do you get frustrated with that child when it doesn't walk perfectly the first time? You got to give them a parade for every little effort. And so saying thank you for, and this is what has happened a lot lately with Tamara. When I hear Tamara, when we get in a frustrating, argument, and one of us starts to express that tone in our voice, we remind each other. You know, you're yelling, oh, thank you, I'll calm myself down. Let me be more loving, let me be gentle with you. Or vice versa, I could say, you know, you're really frustrated, and Tamara, she just automatically will calm herself a little bit and realize that, you know what, we're in love with each other. This is in love. And when you're in love with someone, you're in a workshop for creating greater and greater love. Now, is it easier to love someone when they're, you know, perfect and just what you wanted? Remember those first months of infatuation when you got together with the person? It's very easy to love, isn't it? It's just like a roller coaster that just goes downhill the whole time. And you don't have to climb, and you know, it just flows. And then later on, when it takes effort to love, which is a greater love? The love that you had at first that was effortless, or the love that later on has to be exercised? I think that later love is a greater love. And that's the one that Tamara and I have been working so much on lately. And it means so much when you go under the bridge, when a lot of water goes under the bridge with your partner. Over years, you start to develop trust. And that's the ultimate goal. You know, you see these people, 50, 60 years old, this old couple hobbling down the sidewalk, holding hands, and you know that they experience trust.
Mm-hmm. That's beautiful. Yeah, it's an exquisite time in life to know at the cell, at the soul level of your being, that you are totally and completely loved for exactly who you are, that you're exactly as God created you, and whatever body you have, whatever eye color you have, whatever talents you have, whatever gifts you have, they're perfect. And to wish for anything different is outside of self-love. It's outside of something that a lie or an illusion that you've bought into, that you have to be something more than who you are or what you are. Because who and what you are right now is perfect. It's absolutely perfect. And your expression of your love is absolutely perfect. It may be a little messy, but when you come genuinely from the heart, when you express that you're struggling or there's a pain and it really hurts, and you're that vulnerable, is the window that the famous line in the movie Avatar says, I see you. I see you. I hear you. And I love what Oprah says. Every client, every guest she's had on her show, every single person on her show, she has extracted the common theme, whether they're Beyonce or whether they're a serial killer locked up for the rest of their life. Did you see me? Did you hear me? And does what I say matter? Was that okay? Was that all right? Everybody's looking for, did you see me?
And we want to be seen in a way that we're not judged. You know, what Tamara's really referring to is we tend to look at ourselves and immediately start judging. And, you know, judgment isn't popular in any relationship, and it's especially damaging in your relationship with yourself. So appreciating yourself, and I go through moments, Tamara that kind of worked with me a little bit early on, because I come from a very, you know, I have an engineering background, and everything's solving a problem and, you know, finding out what's wrong and identifying it. And I've had to learn over the years to stop doing that and just practice appreciation. And she'll say things to me like, well, what do you appreciate about yourself? And I got to, you know, it's amazing. If you want to try this, just take a minute and think of five things that you appreciate about yourself. And then we want to actually come back and talk to you a little bit about what is that third step. Because we mentioned two of them, but there's a third step. In drawing that picture, this is what the relationship looks like when it's at its best. And this is my goal with you. And then drawing a picture. And this is what's happening recently, where we're breaking down and there's this clash. And I'm coming to you with this because I want to get back to this vision, this first picture, as soon as possible with you every time, over and over again. So the third picture that you want to draw is a small version of the first picture. One step you could take. You know, maybe what we could do is we could just go to the movies and just hold each other's hands and just sit in silence in each other's arms, because that's the vision I have of being in this relationship with you, is just being together and appreciating each other. Or one small step we could take is, hey, let's go for a walk in the morning, tomorrow morning. Don't make it a big earth-moving, like the whole relationship has to change. Sometimes what works for Tamara and I is just to have an insight on a piece of paper. To draw, this is where I'm committed to, and then this is where we've been breaking down, and, you know, I'm realizing how much I love you and how much I want to really heal these pains that we have, and how frustrating it is for me in this relationship. You know, it's not frustrating for me and to be in at odds with people in other relationships, but I'm with my wife all day. We work together. We live together. We commute together. We do so much together. And I want to have a relationship with her where I can love someone unconditionally, 24/7, around the clock. That's the love I want to perfect. And I'm so grateful that I get to perfect it with her. Why not pick one person? You know, loving the whole world starts, you know, how do you eat an elephant? One bite at a time. How do you, you know, the 1,000-mile journey starts with a single step. Well, have your relationship be that way. Have your relationship with yourself be that way.
Right, and I love what you said, too, that there is an extension. When you experience the kind of love that is satisfying, that is so comforting, it does spill over. It spills over into everyone that you come across and everyone that you meet. I remember that every single time I used to go to my Nana's house, there was an opening. You rang the doorbell. She had this wonderful chime on her big, beautiful house, and those front doors would open, and her arms would be wide open, and she'd put her hand on her heart, and she says, "Oh, my loving Bunny Beach," and that means my precious, beautiful gem. And every single one of his grandkids felt like we were like the apple of her eye. So when we walked through those doors, we knew that somebody loved us. We knew that we'd be accepted, whether, you know, our hands were clean or we were a little dirty or we'd been misbehaving or whatever it was. It didn't matter when we came over to Nana's house, because Nana would always embrace us. And there was that moment of recognition, that moment of acceptance, when anything that was going on in the world or at school or at work, it just melted away inside of a warm embrace. And I really believe that there is a yearning that all of us feel, that whether we can physically hold each other or physically give each other a hug, there is that opportunity to feel the warmth of another person's recognition that says, "I see you. I see you. I hear you, and what you say matters to me."
And as we talk about, you know, pictures and words, one of the things that, you know, I tried to tell Tamara that over and over again. And at one point, I realized, you know, I've been trying for over a year to find the right words to say to her, and I can't find them. I'm going to have to try something different. And what I learned to do, and it doesn't work every time, but boy, I'll tell you, during that period, it worked for a full 6 months consistently. I would shut my mouth and do the one thing that my mind was telling me, "You're insane if you try to do this. There's a storm over there that's very frustrated with you. You can't get closer to it." But what I would do is I would just shut my mouth, walk over, and wrap my arms around her. Not even say anything, not say "I love you," not say anything, just wrap my arms around her and hold her lovingly.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, because when you're talking and you're talking at each other at a distance or you're faced off, it's almost like, you know, think about it. When people have a fist fight, what's their position with each other? They're staring at each other defensively. So when I wrap my arms around her, and you want to do this usually, you know, approach your partner from like from an angle or come around to their side and put an arm around them and then put your other arm around them and just hold them lovingly and give them a real nice, mushy kind of a hold. And then you can say, I love you if you want or whatever is authentic. And then just give a little space and maybe caress a little bit. Now, if you know about the love languages, people have different love languages. For some people, it's gift giving. For some people, it's acts of kindness. For some people, it's physical touch. For both Tamara and I, it's physical touch. So when we connect with each other physically, if we hold hands during an argument, it makes the argument less intense. If we reach out to each other during an argument, it makes the argument less intense. And that's one of the things we've learned. Always stay in physical contact, stay in close physical proximity, reach out to each other, you know, try to, instead of facing off with each other, sit next to each other, sit side by side. Energetically, it makes a huge difference.
Mm-hmm. And one of the things we remind ourselves of, too, is that love isn't something you have to seek outside of you. Love is who you are. Love is what you were created in. Love is what you're made of. We just have to remove the blocks that prevent us from experiencing who we are and what we are.
Yeah, this is the biggest thing I think that has helped us so much is we think that we have to do more or we have to get more or we have to learn a new skill. I'm going to go to, Tamara and I do relationship workshops, but at those workshops, we spend so much time on who people already are and no time telling people you got to learn this new skill. You got to learn to do this new thing. You got to put more into this relationship. You're not putting enough into it. It's always the opposite. What we do instead is we say, you got to stop trying so hard. You got to just let the relationship, the love that you originally had flow and start pulling all that rubble that's you know, on top of it off. That's the stuff, the judgments and projections and the criticisms. You just got to let go of all those over and over again. And it's so frequent. I'll be driving along, I'll be going along, and I'll be thinking, boy, you know, Tim and I are really struggling lately. And then all of a sudden, I'll just go into a crazy, like, mode of just appreciating everything about her. I love her eyes. I love stroking her hair. I love her amazing body. I love her her hands. I love holding her hands. I love her voice. I tell her that all the time. I love your voice. And now, it's almost impossible for me to go through one of those sessions and come back to the critical feelings that I was having as deeply. So by focusing on what is it about your partner that's truly working, that's truly, that you're really grateful for, the thing that made you say, you know what, this is the person I want to spend some time with. Those things you can review over and over and over again. You know, and there's times I joke with Tamara about it. Sometimes, you know, when she's alone, she comes back and she's just at peace, especially when she's, you know, reading some of the beautiful readings she likes from A Course in Miracles or you know, some of the poetry. She loves Rumi. If she goes, though, and she's doing something where she lets her mind keep going, it's almost like, oh, man, you know, she comes out and it's like, I'm much worse because where she's let her mind go.
Yeah.
And I got to be the same way. You know, if you think that you're going to pile up a lot of negative thoughts and then be loving with your spouse, believe me, there's something going on under the current. Mm-hmm. One of the things that, you know, we were just talking to a friend of ours, and he and his wife's a licensed psychotherapist. He was a monk for about 18 years. He's a very sensitive man. His wife's very sensitive as well. And she can tell when he's frustrated before he can. So he had to learn to be more sensitive and say something ahead of time. Now, I have a little something that I say to Tamara. When I notice, and it's very easy, you know, you guys really got to notice these things and say something when you notice them. So often we think, oh gosh, I better not say anything. She's in a bad mood. When I notice that Tamara's in that kind of energy, I will go lovingly to her and I'll say, honey, I'm sensing a disturbance in the force.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'll be kind of quiet. Now, I've learned not to say things like, honey, what's wrong? Or, honey, what did I do now? That's judgment poisoning the whole loving presentation. So instead, I'll say, honey, I'm sensing a disturbance in the force. And for those of you who know from Star Wars, you know, the force is with you, and it's the cosmic force of love that we all live in, whatever you want to call that, the good side. And And when I come to her and I say, you know, I'm sensing a disturbance in the forest, I just go quiet. And I listen, and she'll say something. She'll think. Sometimes she'll think for 2 or 3 minutes, and then she'll say something. And then from that point, I've successfully gotten it to that point. Now I got to learn to listen, maybe repeat what she says, again, lovingly. It's not what you say, it's how you say it. Remember that. You can ask anybody, is it what you say or how you say it that's most important? And everyone agrees that it's how you say it. So be careful how you say what you say. And then what happens is our partner says, well, you know, what did you mean by that? Well, all I said was this, and then we want to repeat the content. We're going to quote ourselves as if there was nothing wrong with it, but how we say it means everything.
It's true, because haven't you guys experienced just being in the presence with someone who's absolutely accepting? And you feel like your creativity is just on the cusp of being let go. I mean, it's just a wonderful expression. In fact, it reminds me so much of the song Let It Go by Frozen. It's so popular right now. In fact, I think Ronnie's got that queued up for us. Ronnie, can you play that song for us?
Think of while you're listening to this song, just think of taking whatever grievances you have right now and just letting them go.
The snow glows white on the mountain tonight, not a footprint to be seen. A kingdom of isolation, and it looks like I'm the queen. The wind is howling like this swirling storm inside. Couldn't keep it in, heaven knows I tried. Don't let them in, don't let them see. Be the good girl you always have to be. Conceal, don't feel, don't let them know.
Yeah.
have you ever felt frozen, or like when you touch your partner, they're reacting like you're cold, like you're an iceberg, or are they acting that way for you? And then just get into the fact that you love, you've got a lot of love to offer, and just let it go.
I love that song, and I think why it resonates with so many people is because we long to just express and be free and not have to be perfect, not have to have it just right, even if it's messy or if it's sloppy. Being able to be exactly who you are, authentically you, authentically loving, whatever quirks it is that you come with, it's wonderful. And you being your authentic self, being able to love in relationships, whether you're single, being in love with yourself, being in love with the people that are around you, being in love with a partner, there's no better place to be. In fact, there's some transcendent emotion or endorphins that get released inside of your brain, whether it's with a grandmother that opens her arms wide to you and puts her hand over her heart because she's so in love with seeing you run through her doors, or a partner that says, "Oh, you're home. Oh my gosh." And then wraps their arms around you, or you, a friend that you haven't seen in a long time, and it's like, "Oh, it's you. It's you." To be seen, to be held, just for no other reason but that you're on this planet and because you matter to someone else. And sometimes it can be just enough to turn someone's whole life around. At our lowest points, when someone gives us a kind word, a kind expression, a warm hug, it can be just enough to turn everything around, and that our perception is turned on a dime to where what seemed to be undoable or insurmountable, all of a sudden is doable. And one of the things with that song, Let It Go, too, is that whatever background you come from, whatever childhood, whatever family you were born into, it was perfect. It was perfectly imperfect and gave you the gifts and the credentials from the pains you suffered from the past, whatever childhood gave you. If you can see underneath the pain that there's a real gift, there's a gift of compassion that's available for someone who needs you, and you need them.
Yeah, and you know, a lot of times we come from a broken family. You know, our father wasn't there, which was my case, or your parents got divorced. It happened to both Tamara and me. And we are like, why did this happen to me? Well, you know, your pain is your credential. Someone who's had cancer has more credentials, if they've healed themselves of cancer, has more credentials than a cancer doctor, than an oncologist. So the pains you've been through are credentials for you in your life. You've somehow survived those things. And that's a huge credential. And somehow, if you've learned to love after all that, that's a huge credential. And you know, with Tamara and I, one of the things that happens to me frequently, I was a monk for about 8 years, and I have a background where I always, you know, my like rut in life is that I always end up doing things alone and doing things solo. And I got real honest with myself. I don't want to be alone. Even when we fight, I'd rather be with Tamara. Even when we fight. And I've gotten honest with myself. And if you get honest with yourself, you'd be saying the same thing. You do not want to be alone. And no, your cat isn't enough. You want to have a beautiful relationship with another human being that you really get to be intelligent with and have beautiful, loving conversations and go back and forth. Because a cat is a possession. And I hate to say it that way, but it really is. It's your cat. And a husband is not that way. Your husband isn't your possession. It's someone you've married your life to. So think about that deeply. Do you really want to be alone? You know, we talk about, oh, it's not worth it. It is worth it because you don't want to be alone. So let's just review a little bit some of the things that we've discussed. We were talking about there's three things that you can do when you're going through tough times. Take out a blank piece of paper and draw three pictures. Number one, a vision of what the relationship looks like. Number two, a little picture of the disturbance that you're having currently. And number three, one small step, a picture of one small step that the two of you could do together that would head in the direction of that initial vision. We also talked about forgiveness. We talked about how, you know, forgiveness isn't letting the other person off the hook. Forgiveness is owning the projection, the judgment that you projected onto them, which is yours. Paint it all over them. You might as well take it back and own it and then throw it away and dump it. We, you know, Tamara talked a whole lot about loving yourself and embracing yourself and seeing, you know, even when you're having a tough time, if you're in pain from having a tough time, then you must be committed to having beautiful love. If you are having joy over having a tough time, that's when you can criticize yourself. You know, that's weird. That's like masochism or sadism or something. But you have pain when your love breaks down. That is an expression of love. Loving your partner when you can't feel any love is true love. So don't give up on it.
I just want to remind everybody of who you really are, that there's a space inside, there's a soul that is untouched, unscathed by any pain, by any hurt, that waits to be awakened. Waits to yawn and stretch and just be able to express mercy and know that there's a space inside of you that is forever at peace in the heart of God. And be amazing with your precious self, because we tell other people how to treat us by the way we treat ourselves. So be really good to you.
And if you decide you want some help with all this, you can reach Tamara and or myself through heartvirtue.com, HEARTVIRTUE, heartvirtue.com. Tamara and Greg Montana are the two of us on the website. All of our contact information is there. We are very committed to seeing you have a beautiful marriage and a beautiful relationship. So don't hesitate to contact us with any questions you have about anything we've covered here or any problems you might have.
Yeah, that'd be great. We are available for coaching. So if you're in need, we'd love to be there for you. We'd love to be a help.
Thank you to Max and friends. Yes. We are so grateful that you give us this little gap of time to express our commitment to couples. We know how much, how difficult they are or can be, and we also know how beautiful it can be when you find the right person, commit to them long term. So don't give up. It's possible.
So we love you, everybody, Max and friends. Have a great week. And Max will be back here with you next week. And thank you again, Max. We love you. Thank you, Ronnie. We appreciate you producing in the background. And thank you, listening audience, for being there and hearing us through the ether. We appreciate you.
So let it go and love again.